everybody, it's Em. Welcome to this week's episode of It's All Geek to Me Radio. We're going into episode number 84. This week we were super lucky and had a special guest, Keenan Joliffe, join us to talk all things Daredevil. We talked all about Daredevil and went a little into some tangents of some other great TV for you to check out, as well as a little bit of Broadway, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So please join us and let us know what you think about Daredevil.
So don't hate me. I've only watched 8 episodes worth of the show because I couldn't really get into it. I'm sorry.
You were going to be spoiled then, because woman.
I'm not worried about that because I have literally watched it portions of it 3 times and still cannot get into it. So go ahead and spoil me.
I mean, I feel like you've made a giant fail here.
Yeah, but you feel that way about all of my opinions.
Not all, just the ones that are wrong. Mm-hmm.
And how many of my opinions are wrong? Most of them. I'm not saying I don't like the show. That's not it. It just doesn't grab me. And I know a lot of people who thought it was super cool. And it is super cool. I love that Marvel is now on Netflix and they can go as gritty and dark and dirty as they want. That's awesome. Uh-huh. But I just couldn't get into it. And like for me, the kind of stuff that I do get into is this kind of dark and gritty stuff, and I just don't know why. I don't know why. I can't tell you why. But no, I love the production design. I think the acting is amazing.
The fight scenes
were fabulous. The gore factor was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. That was a bit much. Although I, for some reason, enjoyed it.
Yep.
Decapitation by car door. Yes.
I know. Oh, considering that was awesome. I'm normally the girl who's like covering her face during this stuff, I was on the edge of my seat, being like, yes.
Yeah, no, I'll watch this stuff like crazy, but I went to see Jurassic World today, and there were some points where I was covering my face. Throw in dinosaurs, and all of a sudden... Because I dig this stuff. So, like, I started watching The Walking Dead because special effects is, like, a thing of mine. So, you know, that was really cool. And I just love how brutal it was.
Yeah, it was super brutal.
But I mean, the impaling on the spike.
Oh, and he did that to himself. Oh, yes, I know. I winced so hard. there were just moments where I was like, Though today I was watching, I just watched episode 8, and the woman that Wilson Fisk is dating.
Yeah.
I have
Vanessa.
I would like to talk to Wardrobe. Because Spanx exists for a reason.
Aww.
No. Not because it's her. She just had the wrong undergarments on.
Oh,
underneath mine? That dress. That dress fit her like a glove and fit her perfectly. But I should not have been able to see your panty lines or your bra.
True.
Sorry. When you're wearing white. But I mean, no. She's a beautiful woman, and that dress was gorgeous. It was just, I was like, no, come on, Wardrobe. You know what that's about. I do this daily. So do you.
So what did you like most, Kate, seeing as...
What did I like most? I think, and it's gonna sound really weird, I think it was Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes.
Yes.
Because I've never seen him in a role like this before, and I was blown away by him.
Yep.
I also adore Charlie Cox, but I've known who he is since Stardust.
Sure.
So, no, like, I love Charlie Cox, but... Vincent just blew me out of the water.
Yep.
And
he gets even better after episode 8.
Okay. Look, I promise I will finish the series. Even if you guys spoil me, I will finish the series.
As you should.
I just couldn't. I don't know what it is. It just didn't grab me enough. Like, it didn't hold my attention enough, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
I know, and I still haven't gotten to the point where he's got the daredevil suit. I know I have to get to that.
That's at the very, very
end. Yes, I've been warned.
That's like, yeah, that's the tail end of everything.
That's like, oops, here you go.
Yeah. So,
what did you think of the suit, Eileen?
You know, I didn't hate it.
Yeah. I just think the eyes are weird. Is that like a weird, like, small critique to make? But I just think that the eyes are like, like, very strange.
Well, especially because his eyes are a major factor to his character.
Uh-huh.
Seeing as, you know, he only sees and...
They look demonic. And I know that he's Daredevil.
He's the devil of Hell's Kitchen.
I get it. But at the same time, I liked the guy who just wore...
Like the Wesley
do-rag,
suit?
A do-rag around his head. Oh, the Wesley. Yes. That's exactly what it is.
The Wesley suit.
It's the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Correct.
That's exactly what he looks like.
But no, there was a lot of build-up to the suit reveal.
Yep.
Like, a lot.
Who makes it?
The same guy who makes Fisk's suits.
No way.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Which is pretty cool. And he's actually kind of a cool, his whole thing is really cool, actually. Yeah. And like what drives his character, and like why he's working for Wilson and why he decides that he can work for Matt. And,
okay.
Yeah. I really like that little, that I like him a lot.
It's a little tiny subplot, but it works.
Yeah,
there's a, I think it might be in, I don't remember if it's in the end of episode 7 or the beginning of episode 8, where Leland is having a suit made. That's the tailor, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of geeked out over that too, but can you tell what I do for a living?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yes. So it's that guy.
So, yeah, they go a little bit more in depth with him. Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Oh, very cool. Okay, I promise, I will finish.
I have to say, this series on a whole did a really good job at showcasing all of the characters. Because you get to know a little bit about pretty much everyone they introduced.
Yeah,
and to be honest, like, some of my favorite characters aren't the main cast, you know what I mean? Like Wilson's assistant is one of my favorite characters.
Oh,
I think he's
wonderful.
Great. You know, and like... The fact that the show really showcases, you know, all these other sub, you know, class of characters or whatever is just so great. It's just like, it's awesome.
I really like the newspaper guy.
Yeah.
I forget his name offhand, but I mean, I like him now.
He was probably my favorite character besides Vincent.
He had some moments though where it was a lot of like, what the hell are you doing? You should be smarter than this.
Well, yeah, but...
I'm probably talking more from, like, I could watch that man, like, sit in a chair and act, you know?
Oh, yes.
Like, I just think that, like, I thought he was just delightful to watch.
Yeah, he was wonderful.
But yes, I mean, he had some of those moments. But for me, like, Foggy had so many of the, like, Foggy was really hard for me, to be honest. I don't know. I had a hard time
believing him as a lawyer.
Listen, it may be the D2 love coming through. I get that. But what I loved about that character was they made his relationship with Matt real. Like, it would be so easy to do the cliche, he finds out, he fights, they're not talking, I'm never going to talk to him again thing. But the way they showcased it was, you see him in the bar and how upset he is, and you see that this is like a real relationship and it's complicated and he's trying to process the information and he still wants his friend back, but he doesn't know how to handle this news that's been presented to him. Which basically is, his friend has been lying to him the entire time he's known him.
Right. I'll give you that. I liked the character. I won't say I didn't like the character. I just had a hard time believing him as a lawyer. Although the scene in the lobby where he kind of like tells off his ex-girlfriend, that was pretty good.
That was lawyer-like.
That was lawyerish. I will say, I know, Eileen, you told me that you couldn't handle Karen after a while. She didn't bug me at all.
You haven't gone far enough.
Okay.
I thought that she for me, she had more moments than Foggy. And there's specifically an episode, I think, that you'll see, Kate, that where she, like, I don't know, where she kind of turns it on. And, like...
It's not so much that bothered me. It's A, that she needed to be rescued multiple times. And B, she was sort of like, I don't know, it bothered me that she's like kind of hitting on Foggy, but at the same time, like trying to hit on Matt. Like anytime everyone's like, oh, he's so cute, she'd be like, what, Matt? And they're like, no, the guy that you're sitting here joking with and having dinner with and who you just said you're on a date with. Listen, I have issues when it comes to romance in my superhero stories. I just don't like it. I don't need it.
But you liked Vincent's romance.
That is true. As I said, apparently it works for villains as far as I'm concerned.
But their relationship was a different kind of romance than I think we're used to seeing in this kind of media. No, this kind of media, not this kind of media. That, like, in a Marvel sense. So, like, I think... the two of them were very equally matched from the beginning. So yeah, she knows that he's a crime boss and all of this stuff, but she just has this air about her.
Yeah.
That is unlike any other woman in a romantic relationship in the Marvel universe that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, that's not to discount, like, the ones that I love, like, you know, Peggy Carter and all that, but, like, this was just, she's not a bullshitter. From the beginning.
Well, also, she never needed to be rescued. She wasn't with him because he rescued her.
No, exactly.
And I feel like
I was just going to say, if anything, she's rescuing him.
Right.
I would agree. I would totally agree with that.
And I feel like a lot of the superhero relationships, at some point, someone is being, the girl is being rescued, and then it's like, oh, he's so dreamy.
Yeah.
Thor.
Despite everyone saying that she was a bad thing for him, you know?
Right.
He just, like, kept to it, you know, and she became what he lived for, in a sense, you know?
Right. His backstory was fascinating. His entire backstory was so fascinating.
I mean, all bias aside, the 8th episode is my favorite episode.
Gee, I wonder why that's your favorite episode,
All bias aside...
That is a fabulous episode, though, and I love that they took the time in, you know, the short series. Like, 13 episodes really isn't that long.
Yeah.
No, it's really not.
And I love that in that they took the time to establish a backstory instead of just coming out and being like, this is our villain, he is bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of increasingly, through the episodes after he's introduced, get to see more and more why he is the way he is, and it also explains sort of how the people he has relationships with, such as his assistant and, you know, his girlfriend, why they would be drawn to him and why they wouldn't just be like evil man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's also never presented as bad, you know. Right. It's just we're just given information about where he comes from, and we're also told what he wants, you know. Right. but it's never like, I don't know. I feel like it's never, like, glaringly thrown in our face that he's just, like, an evil guy, right, you know, which was refreshing. It was refreshing. I also think that it paid off in those moments, right, like the decapitation by Cardor.
Right.
You know, you know that there's this evil in him, right? But for the most part, you're just kind of watching a dude be really good at, like, talking to other people and, like, you know, planning things, and then... for the first time with that moment, and then again when, like, he, like, beats Matt down, you know, and, like, different things like that, like these moments where his rage just, like, is overtaken, and that's why, like, those gory moments, like, there's almost a payoff to them, you know. It's like you've been waiting to see the darkness in Wilson Fisk,
right.
And so then you see it, and it doesn't even feel like I don't know, like, it's so justified. Like, you're just like, yes.
Like, well, it's, you know, like, when you're originally watching it, like, what could this man possibly do that would make someone want to impale themselves through the eye rather than face him?
Yeah. Ugh.
That was the only one that made me really squirm, too. Because he did it to himself.
You would have been okay if someone else did it to him?
Well, like, that's harkening back to, like, The Walking Dead. I had no problem with anything until Michonne jabbed the governor in the eye with glass, and then I wigged out.
Oh man, I'm in the middle of season 3 right now. That's awesome. Man. I had no idea that was
sorry,
coming.
I didn't mean to spoil you for that. Cool.
Spoiler alert!
I am so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I won't tell my roommate that you told me because he's the one who's making me watch it.
Well,
but, I mean,
that whole fight scene is the best.
Awesome. But I can't wait.
That is the only moment in The Walking Dead. They've done so many things to walkers in that show, and then they do that, and I was like, nope, can't. I can't. I just can't.
Well, speaking of Walking Dead and Daredevil, did you guys hear that Jon Bernthal is going to be playing Punisher in next season of Daredevil?
Yeah.
I am so excited to see him back on TV.
Oh, Shane.
Yeah.
He's in Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl.
Yes, he is.
Which I was watching the film the other with a coworker,
sorry,
and I was like, that's...
I'm sorry. Can you repeat how you just said that? Because it was awesome.
I was watching the film.
Which I was watching the film.
Yes, which I was watching the film the other week with one of my coworkers, and I was like, "That's." He's like, "Yes, it's Shane." I was like, "Okay." Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. I think I'm gonna go see it tomorrow night.
Oh, do it! It's good.
I was in.
Depressing as all hell.
Yeah, I'm sure. I was in Preppy Connection with Thomas Mann. He's a really sweet guy, so I'm excited to see him in this.
He does a great job.
Yeah, I heard. I heard. Sorry, I took us away from Daredevil.
No, that's all right.
It's all good. We have a tendency to tangent.
We do, yeah. We do. So yes. Anyway, back to Daredevil. what were we talking about before we went off on that tangent?
Violence, Wilson Fisk,
impaling.
Oh, the impaling on the eye. Ooh. The only other one that really, really got to me was the guy in the bowling alley. Because,
oh, where you see the bone?
Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't that so much. It was just a matter of thinking about how much force it really takes to do that to another human being. Mm. Blah.
Kate thinks of the technical aspects and then gets creeped
out. My mother's a nurse. She was an ER nurse, so I would get stories of, you know, exposed bones and stuff growing up.
Lovely.
Maybe that's why I am the way I am.
Thanks, Mom.
I thought that was really cool, and they did it really well. It was just at that point, I wasn't used to how grotesque the gore could get in the show. Yeah. So, yes, more power to you, Marvel, if that's where you really want to go. Are you showing us your true colors?
Yeah, well, also with Daredevil, right? Like, the history of Daredevil, like, even as just a character, right? Like, you know, that cliche comic scene where everybody's like, where the superhero hangs the villain off of the roof, you know, like, way back when, Daredevil was the first person to let him drop and not catch him, right? And, like, that was, like, a huge moment in comics where people were like, what?
What,
like,
just happened here?
He just murdered someone, you know? And so, like, with Daredevil especially, he treads that moral line so much, and I think it'd be impossible to make that not as dark and not as, you know.
I completely agree. And I also think that the darkness harkens to Daredevil himself, because he lives in a world, he's blind, but he's not completely blind. They've shown us a little bit of his world on fire. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it lends toward living in his world while you're there. Because, like, if you look at some of the scenes that are just between, like, Foggy and Karen, they're a little lighter.
Yeah.
In the production design. So I think all the way around they did a great job with this show. And I can't pinpoint exactly what it is that made me not get into it as much as everybody else.
Yeah.
But I think the production design is great. I think the casting was fabulous. And I look forward to them getting another season. I look forward to more Marvel Netflix, too.
I just want to say, first of all, I was super excited they kind of referenced Iron Fist. So that was exciting.
Yep.
And also, Lee, I'm very excited that they have a second season, and I really, really want the big bad to be Vanessa. I'm just putting that out there.
That'd be really awesome. That'd be really awesome.
It would be really awesome.
Because then you'd get to see how her character changed from someone who just happened to work in a gallery to, like...
Yeah, I would like to know that already. I would like to know already why this, like, gallery worker is, like, kind of maniacally evil.
When you first meet her, you get a sense of that.
Yeah.
Just the minute she smiles at him, you're like, what?
Yeah, that's the only reason that I feel like I've been able to justify it for this long, but I also kind of want to know why. You know what I mean?
Like, what happened to her?
Yeah, yeah. That
well, maybe we'll get okay with all of this.
Maybe we'll get some more backstory on her in the beginning.
She doesn't
of
even
season.
Bat an eyelash. Nope. She's just like, oh, this is what you do? Okay, cool. Great.
Can we talk about the this is production design too? And Kate, you haven't seen the last episode, of course, but the wall that he stares at in all throughout the eighth episode, right? And all throughout the beginning of ever seeing him, right? The wall in his childhood that his father tells him to stare at, and then his reasoning, you know, I mean, that's why he buys that painting from her gallery.
Yeah.
Because it looks like that wall, and then again in the last episode, there's that wall.
In the prison.
Yeah, well, I wasn't gonna say it. Sorry, Kate.
It's all right. I told you you could spoil. It's fine.
So the last like shot that you see of Vince, he's staring at this wall, but it's like the same wall in prison, and it's just like, it's such like just like a nice little like subtle thing that's just like this wonderful through line that I just really appreciated.
Well, also, there's the whole episode where they're showing you his daily routine, and you're watching it over and over and over, and it's almost the exact same thing every time. And then that's when they bring Vanessa into staying with him, and then it's the exact same thing, but subtly she's changing it.
Yep.
The show was just, I think it was very well thought out.
Yeah,
and
I think so too.
And they had the time to take with it.
Yeah.
And they took it, and they did a great job. Where that's concerned.
I'm excited for when they have enough of these shows established on Netflix that everyone can start to cross over. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like they do with Arrow and The Flash on CW. Uh-huh. Yeah, it'd be really, really fun to see like Daredevil appear in Jessica Jones or vice versa.
Well, they're going to all be on a show together.
Yep.
They all went to school together. Sorry, that's my go-to on that. They all went to school together. We all went to school together. And that's the Broadway coming out. Sorry, folks. But, yeah, they're going to do The Defenders, which will have all of them.
Yep.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Mm-hmm. And Jessica Jones is still filming.
Indeed.
I hate the title.
They changed it from the AKA.
Did they? Thank God.
Yeah, oh, they dropped the AKA.
Oh, thank God.
For no reason. No. It was there for no reason. No one knows why it was there. No one knows why it was taken away. It just disappeared.
Was it just a mock name, right? Because Daredevil used to be called The Bluff.
Right, like, just, but see, that's like different. This was just AKA Jessica Jones. It wasn't that it was AKA. It was AKA Jessica Jones.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, it wasn't like a working title.
Right.
Yeah, okay. That what they released to the media and were like,
The working title. Oh, I guess it's still filming. I can't give the working title. It has a working title.
OLV already has.
Have they? Okay.
I'm pretty sure they have.
There was a working title. For a while, I was tracking working titles on several Marvel projects. I had a document on my phone. Mm.
Well done. Well done, geek. Well done.
Listen, I'm not a stalker, but if I were, I'd be really good at it.
That is true. Like, 100% true.
But I'm not. We need to clarify. I am not a stalker.
No, totally.
But.
Of course.
But people put a lot of information out on the internet that they don't realize you can connect the dots to.
That is really the truth.
I'm not a stalker. I just like to connect dots. I'm just a kid with
I like
the dots.
I like to figure out puzzles, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness. You guys are funny. You guys are funny.
We are funny. People should listen.
Oh, yeah. How about that? So, Keenan, tell us a little bit about getting the crap beat out of you.
Yeah.
How was that?
I mean, that was really awesome.
Very believable.
Thank you. Daredevil was really big for me because it was like the first like television that I'd ever done. Right? So it was the first time on a big set like that. It was my first time having a trailer. It was my first time, like, you know, all that stuff, you know? And so I had my like funny moments, like behind the scenes of all of that stuff that happened, you know, that were wonderful for me. You know, I have just like funny stories about being on a big set for the first time. And, you know, and then they just kind of throw you in, you know, they're just kind of like, you're just kind of there, and then they're like, you know, they handed me like the fake bat, and they were like, you know, like, all right, like here's kind of how it's gonna go down, and then then we just kind of like did it, and then they were like, all right, you know, I had a stunt double, which was weird too. It was weird to be like, you know, like, wow, you look just like me, and dressed just like you, and it's all weird. And then they kind of like, they did it once with me, and then they were like, wow, you're a pretty physical guy. Like, can we just like put the stunt pads on you and have you do it? And I was like, yeah, sure.
Like, you're gonna say no.
Yeah, I mean, you know. So then I was able to do all of that, which was pretty cool. And they ended up using the one shot that they took of him for when I get thrown to the ground. But besides that, it's all me, which was really cool. And I left the set with some nice ripe bruises and stuff. But it was fun. And also, you know, he's such an intense guy, you know, Fisk's dad, you know, he's such an intense guy, both as an actor, but also as a character. And he was such a joy to work with because of that intensity, but also, you know, there was we were really going at it, you know. It was cool. It was just a lot of fun. And then the kid, you know, and having like one camera on him, watching him like, you know, kick, and then one camera on me getting kicked. And it was a lot, you know. And then the blood lady would come over and fill my mouth with blood, and then I'd like cough it out. And then, you know, I mean, it was a lot of fun. And the choreography was really, I thought, pretty great in terms of, like, you know, I didn't initially want to be a part of a fight, you know. And I was just leaving, you know, and I happened to crack him in the head with my bat, and then, you know, and then it was just like, and then there's that moment, you know, when I hit the fence, you know, he throws me against the fence, and you can, you know, and there's that, I guess, that subtle beat that actually the DP asked me for, which was, you know, which was so awesome. But he was like, you know, can you just throw a beat in there where you hit the fence, and we can see, like, the way that he put it was, we can see that it's you, but you know, for me, that beat ended up being like, you know, I didn't want to be in this fight. I get thrown against the fence, and then it's like, oh, okay, now I want to be in this fight. Oh, you know,
it changes
and,
over.
And then you know, and then, I mean, he proceeds to beat the shit out of me, but
but you tried.
But I tried. I went for it. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to be there. And, you know, they kept going darker. You know, that was the thing. And I had a friend who was working on the crew, and he was like, dude, he was like all the time, we're just like, how dark can we get? You know, and they meant like light levels. They meant like blood. They meant like, you know, all of it. Like how dark in general can this show be, you know?
That's always my question with these not main networks, or not even a network at all. Like, Netflix is not really a network. It's its own entity. So what are their constraints? Do they just go, hey, here, have fun. Like, what we just watched Sense8 and some stuff that's in that, I'm like, this would never fly on network TV.
Yeah.
So you wonder how dark can they go?
I actually think that I think it's super refreshing to watch where, like, I don't know, like, you know, I was watching Gotham for a little bit, and I just always kind of felt, and I know that this doesn't really mirror, I think, you know, how a lot of people see it, but I would always just watch it, and I'd feel like they would get to a spot where they like hit the boundary, and then they couldn't push past it. And they would back off in a way that was like, what? But that's not, those, but, you know, and you like couldn't really get to the place that like superheroes, like that's kind of innately pretty dark, and like people get roughed up, and people get, you know, and I just feel like when you dampen it the way that you kind of have to on network television, not that they haven't done a great job, I think that all of the ones that they've created they've really, you know, I mean, they've done their own great jobs in their own ways, but I think that for Daredevil it was like, wow, it was like you were like, what you were trying to do was show people that you don't have a boundary. Mm-hmm, you know, right. and that was refreshing, because,
but also it didn't feel forced. Like HBO sometimes is like, look, we've got boobs because we can have boobs.
Yes, yes.
There was
none
of that, and I appreciated that.
yeah, absolutely. I think when you really look at it, like no episode had like too much gore or too much violence, you know? There were moments throughout each episode where there was the presence of gore and of violence. And because of that, there was always this like elusive knowledge that we had as an audience that things could get really fucked up, you know? Mm. But so we're always ready for it, which I feel like everyone living in Hell's Kitchen is, you know, in this series. And right. And so it never comes as a surprise when it gets that to that place, but it's also just never overutilized, like you said. You know, it's always justified to me, is, right. is how I felt.
I agree with you on all those points. It was refreshing to see it. And I remember watching the first episode and just thinking, oh, what have we stumbled yeah. into?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think Marvel is having fun flexing their, what's the word I'm looking for?
Flexing their muscles.
I was going to say, like, flexing their wings, but that was so not.
Muscles?
My brain is fried right now. Flexing their muscles for what they really can do, what they can't do in these movies that are, you know, meant to be family movies, PG-13 at most.
Right.
So they're going, this is what we really can do.
Well, also, as, you know, Keenan said before, like, Daredevil has always been dark. It wouldn't have been worth it to do something saturated for family. I'm not sure the words I'm looking for, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sanitized. A sanitized version wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're totally right on that.
No, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't have. You would have gotten to that same spot that you hit sometimes with Gotham or with any of the other ones, and you're just like, but it would feel even worse because it's Daredevil, you know, and like, right. it's not, you know, like we're kind of used to Batman, especially before, you know, Christopher Nolan stepped in. We were used to Batman.
The Tim Burton.
Right. But
which I love, but they're,
but we're used to there being a campiness to it. You know,
there's a bat credit card.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas, you know, Daredevil, just like you said, in general, is just so much darker. So it's cool.
Which is really cool.
And like now I'm imagining Shane as the Punisher. Like, what's the Punisher going to do? You know,
Word.
Yeah. So cool.
There will be punishment.
Yeah.
It's so cool. I mean, John Barenthal is going to be great in that role. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's really going to crush evil. It.
He's going to be what?
Oh, yeah.
I said he's good at being evil.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
And maybe we'll start seeing him at Comic-Con again.
Oh yeah!
Once the aftershocks of Walking Dead wore off and no one really was interested in Shane anymore, he kind of like fell off the con circuit.
He was in a couple. He did a couple, but not a lot. He was in Philly last year.
Yes, I remember him being in Philly last year.
What was he there for?
Walking Dead.
Really?
Yeah.
It was him, Lori, and Herschel did a panel. Yeah. It was like, what's it like to be killed off on The Walking Dead?
Basically, that's what it was about.
Yeah,
he usually is there for The Walking Dead. I mean, Scott Wilson is still doing conventions like crazy, but I think a lot of people really loved Herschel.
But that's because everyone loved Herschel. Nobody liked Shane. With good reason. That means he did a good job.
Still not convinced it's not his kid. Neither is he. But yes, it will be nice to see him at Comic-Con for Daredevil. That would be really, really fun.
Yeah, that'd be super really cool. Fun.
I mean, I know that Marvel is doing a panel at San Diego Comic-Con, which is their Marvel TV panel, but it's only Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter.
Mm.
So,
ABC.
Yeah, basically. So it's, I'll be curious to see if they bring anything to New York, since they're not really having a heavy Marvel presence at San Diego Comic-Con this year, just TV. They're not doing anything cinematic. I think they're saving that for D23.
I think they're better off doing that stuff in New York, though, because San Diego has so much big stuff that it kind of gets lost.
Yeah.
Whereas if they do it in New York, that'll be the draw.
It will certainly be the draw for me.
Or at least I'm saying that so they do it so I can go see it.
Exactly. Right. I mean, tickets are selfish already reasons. Sold, so.
Selfish reasons, folks.
Selfish reasons. I think it'd be really fun to have another Daredevil panel at New York Comic Con. Because I believe there was one before it started filming, or I might be wrong about that, but I feel like there was.
I feel like there might have been, but I feel like it conflicted with something.
It did. This is how we go to Comic-Con, Keenan. If you've never been to Comic-Con, you have to plan out the entire weekend.
There's a lot of planning involved.
It's like September when all of the panels drop. All of a sudden, me, Em, and our friend Les are constantly texting each other with, hey, this panel came out today.
We also write up lists and email them to each other.
Indeed. It's a very, very choreographed weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting process.
It does have to be. And it's not nearly as nuts as I've heard San Diego can get, but New York is big and about as big of a Comic-Con as I want to go to.
Yeah.
But it would be really cool to have Daredevil there. That would be really cool.
I think it'd be really cool if they had Jessica Jones there and brought the Purple Man because they
should. Well, that too. I'm just thinking Daredevil because it films in New York. So,
well, Jessica Jones films in New York as well.
But, you know, I've had that thought about Orange is the New Black for years, and they never show up. So who knows?
Yeah, but that's a different kind of thing.
I guess. They had their own convention. They're fine.
Yes, they did. That nobody could get tickets to.
No, there was no way to find out how to get tickets to. Apparently people did, because they all went.
What did they do?
Orange is the New Black had their own convention called OrangeCon.
What?
Yeah, yes, it was last weekend.
Nobody knew about this.
Hardly anybody knew about it. I saw it on Twitter, and I was like, oh, hey, how do I get tickets? Not that I can go, because I work in theater, so I'm not going to go. But
yeah.
But you're just curious.
Could not find out how to get tickets. Could not find out. No clue. I don't know how it finally happened, and I'm not that deep in that fandom to really, like, read the message boards or anything and find out all that information. Nor did I care that much, because I couldn't go. Yeah. But I was just like, this is not like any convention I have ever been to. How do you get tickets? So, yes. But anyway, yeah. Okay, Jessica Jones, I would like that too.
And bring the Purple Man.
Or just do a Marvel panel or a Marvel TV panel and announce these series that you're going to do on Netflix. Because they've got like a 7-series deal with Netflix.
True. Yeah. Well, it's Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Defenders.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all we know about right now.
I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's all we know about so far.
And I think it's going to be Jessica Jones, then Luke Cage, then Iron Fist?
Hmm. Black Panther, right?
That's movie.
Yeah.
Luke Cage is the answer to Black Panther.
I really look forward to Luke Cage, especially having seen Daredevil, knowing what boundaries they can push.
Listen, I'm excited for Jessica Jones because female-led series. Let's not screw this up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not. Yeah, I know. And that's where I'm already at that point with Supergirl too. Having watched the pilot,
it hasn't even aired yet.
I know, but I've seen the pilot.
I know. I'm so sad.
And I just,
it rough?
It's not rough, but it's, I keep trying to remind myself that it's on the CW.
Yeah.
It's not on the CW.
I thought it was. No, it's CBS. I'm lying. It's CBS. Yes.
If it was on the CW, it would be good.
Yeah,
They know how to handle superheroes there. That's all they do anymore.
They do know how to handle supernatural.
Supernatural things and superheroes. That's all the CW does now.
Yeah, they're pretty good at it too. But no, it wasn't, I'm not going to say it was horrible. But I need to. Here's the other thing.
Listen to that glowing endorsement.
Em and I have a thing where we don't judge a show based on its pilot.
That's good.
So I have seen the pilot, and there was enough in the pilot to make me go, yes, I would give this my 3-episode look. So I'll give it the 3 episodes when it airs, and then we'll reconvene. We can talk about Supergirl.
We'll rediscuss.
But as of right now, I don't have a lot of hope. Which is sad because female-led series are super important. Thank God we're getting another season of Agent Carter, and you know Jessica Jones is coming out, and I can't believe we have to wait for Captain Marvel movie until 2017, 2018, however long out it is.
So far, so very far.
It is very far out. So that's why I really like that there's at least one strong female character in Daredevil because it's important. It's important to have strong female characters in this.
Who are we counting as the strong female character?
Claire.
Vanessa.
Well, Vanessa.
There
is
you
as
go.
Well.
I agree with Keenan. Claire needs to be rescued too much.
Well, Claire is a nurse. Give her at least an ounce of credit. But yes, Vanessa, I would say, is probably the strongest woman in this entire series.
Good. I want Rosario to come back, and
she will.
Yeah, I know. I just she was wonderful, and I thought she did really great work. Yeah, every time she was on, I was like, yes, this show's better.
I have liked her in everything I have seen her in.
You never saw the Rent movie.
No, but you know what? Wait. No, yes, I have. Yes, I have.
Atrocious.
It came out when I was in college. Yes, I have seen it, but I didn't like it.
Yeah,
I liked it. But I was younger, too.
But, had you seen the show first or the movie, Kenan?
I probably saw the movie first and
That's why you thought it was okay.
Yeah. True. That's
I have true. Yet to see the Broadway show. I've only ever seen the movie.
I have it on DVD. You can watch it.
Yeah, a friend of mine just gave me the one that they released. Like,
yeah, I'm on that DVD.
Yeah. Well then, look at you, superstar.
I know, I'm super special. About like every.
How many times did you see that show on Broadway, Eileen?
I don't know.
She really doesn't.
I honestly don't know. I know it's triple digits, but I don't know. To be fair, before you make me sound completely crazy. Most of the times I saw it, it was for $20.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you're crazy. I think
they
you're
still got a good chunk of your change.
They got a lot.
My highest number of times seeing the same show is 7.
Oh, no, my second highest number is 10, so.
Which show did you see 10 times?
Good Vibrations. To be fair, I didn't pay half the time I saw that. I had a friend who... Well, first of all, the show was not spectacular. It was like bubblegum fun. Like you went in there and you had a fun time, but it was no way like brilliant writing or anything. And also at the time I knew half the cast.
Yeah, that changes it.
So I had a friend who had just started college at Wagner, and her escape when she would get like stressed or whatever would be to go see Good Vibrations, and she'd be like, "Do you want to see it with me?" And I'd be like, "I really don't have the." She's like, "I got you. Let's go."
That's awesome.
Very nice.
It was great. So I saw that show 10 times. Okay. Oh, I didn't think it was open for like. I think it opened in like November and closed in April.
I managed to see the Pyre Queen 5 times, and it opened in April and closed in June. Wow. So you're fine. That's awesome. Yeah, well, that was my show, that show.
Yes, that was your show.
That's how I met you.
It is, indirectly how you met me.
Indirectly, yeah, indirectly. Wow, we went down a nice hole there.
Yeah, we did.
Woo, we went to Broadway.
Hey, nothing wrong with a little pit stop at Broadway every now and then.
I know, I haven't been there in so long. I think the last show I saw was Chaplin.
Hedwig, I think.
Yes, you would.
NPH.
Something Rotten.
Mm. Oh, yes.
It was really, I loved it. I really loved it.
That's got Brian Darcy James, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he's wonderful. I've loved that man ever since I saw him in the Titanic musical. That's right.
Oh, Titanic the musical. That's right. I forgot that existed.
Oh, that existed, and I saw it.
Oh, good Lord. A friend of mine that I'm currently working with just went on an audition for Heathers. In Philadelphia, and nice. I took a stop and I went, wait, it's already released like the rights, and he was like, oh yeah, it didn't do very well.
It did not do well.
And I was like, when we first heard it was coming out, we went, wait, the movie with Winona Ryder, wait, they're turning it into a musical. Wait a minute.
Yeah, my friend was in it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she was one of the Heathers.
I don't really know much more about it other than that they made it because I didn't hear anything else in the media, and right, I was shocked. When he was like, oh, it's regional already. I went, wait, what? When did that happen? So, yeah, no, I know nothing about it even. He said he likes the music. He auditioned for it. So he said he really, really likes the music.
Yeah, the music was really great. It was very entertaining.
Good to know. Maybe I'll have to pop in and see it. I don't even know where, I forget what theater it's at down here in the Philadelphias.
In the Philly.
In the Philly area. But yeah, that was... That was an interesting announcement we went with. What a thing to make a musical about. Woo! But then, you know, there's Passion. What another thing to make a musical about. So
yeah.
They make musicals about everything these days. These days.
It's true.
That's part of the reason I liked Something Rotten so much was they had so many wonderful meta moments about musicals.
Of course they did.
Yeah, it was really great.
I don't know that show at all. I didn't even know that it was there. Yeah. That shows you how detached
they performed on the Tonys.
Yeah, I was working during the Tonys running Memphis.
Oh, and you don't have a DVR because you live in the dark ages.
I don't have a DVR. I live in the dark ages. No, I got to miss out on two events that I never miss. The Kentucky Derby and the Tony Awards because I was working. So
those are some wonderful events that you have on your list of don't ever miss, though.
I mean, clearly, those are the important ones.
I haven't missed the Tony Awards since I was 19.
Wow.
And I have watched the Kentucky Derby, all three races, since I was 6.
Whoa. Oh, so you really failed this year.
I didn't fail this year. I am furthering my career. Or that's what I've been telling myself. I later went back and watched the final race, the Belmont Stakes, just because someone put up a video of Secretariat side by side with America Ferrero.
Oh, yeah.
And it was pretty cool because Secretariat still would have beat him by 2 seconds.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's when I was like, I must watch this. Oh, now I finally watched the race. Good on me. And then I've had people coming up to me being like, did you see this on the Tonys? Did you see that on the Tonys? And, of course, I watched the video of Kelly O'Hara's quick change, which, was amazing.
That is what you took away from not watching the Tonys, the quick change of all quick changes.
45 seconds, they put her from one ball gown into another. Do you know how hard that is? That was so cool. That was so cool.
I can imagine how hard that is.
Me and my fellow dressers all geeked out about it. I'm sorry. That's what we do. that's what you do. So anyway, any final thoughts on Daredevil, you guys?
Can't wait for season 2.
Season 2, Vanessa's the big bad.
Yeah, I will totally agree with that. I promise you that I will finish. I'll watch the final 4 episodes. 4? Is it 13? 12? 13?
13.
13. Okay, final 5.
13. Coming from the girl who watched the first 2 episodes the night it dropped, the rest, almost all the rest, the next day, and then the final 2 the following day.
Yep.
You marathoned it like a champ.
Oh, yep. Oh, I did. And maybe nobody else did, and it was very upsetting.
I think I watched the first episode when it dropped.
Everyone who told me they were going to marathon it, I came in and I was like, did you? And they were like, no. Like, I hate you so much.
It's unfortunate we've become that culture, though. Like, something drops on Netflix and we have to watch it in a weekend.
You don't have to, but...
Well, like, the greatest example I give is when this season of The Fall dropped on Netflix, I was reviewing it for the Entertainment Weekly community. Mm. So, and I could not let myself get ahead of whatever episode I was reviewing, or I would start to mess up timelines. So I had to watch it week by week for 6 weeks. And a girl that I was working with had watched the entirety of it in, like, 2 days, and she was like, wait till you get to episode 4. And I'm like, stop.
Just stop that.
Don't. I can't, okay?
Yeah, binge culture. It's an interesting
thing. But yeah, we've
thing.
Become... I think it's going to really, really change the way that TV is made. Like, it already is.
Yeah, and right. The way that people write it, too, you know?
Yeah. They can really change the way that they write it. It's pretty cool. Yeah. And the way that they design it, so...
I'm about to watch the first episode of the new season of True Detective right now.
Ooh, oh, snap.
Nice. I'm real excited.
Well, speaking of the different platforms, I'm just going to put this out there. We got some kind of crappy news earlier today that Hannibal has been canceled.
NBC likes to kill things.
Yes, after this season. However, for the last 2 seasons, Brian Fuller has been saying that if anything were to happen with it getting canceled on NBC, there are other people interested in it.
Of course there is. It's a good show. I don't even watch it if I know this.
No, it's a stunning show. Everything about it is just like pure poetry. The way they design it, the way they write it, the way it's acted, everything. It's gorgeous in an extremely grotesque way. But so I'm confident that it's going to find a new home somewhere. And I heard on IGN earlier, they were saying they think that its new home is most likely Amazon.
Oh,
nice.
But I think Amazon and or Netflix and or Hulu, but I would rather Netflix or Amazon would be a good place for it to anchor because it never really quite fit on NBC. It's not an NBC show. And I can remember watching it even in the first season and thinking, wait, this is on network television? This isn't on like Showtime? How is this? It doesn't fit on that station.
Well, the other question is, what fits on NBC?
Touche.
Nothing.
But that's crappy news. But the bonus is I kind of know that it's going to get saved. Who knows how quickly it will get saved. But the company who owns it are, I'm pretty sure, shopping. And they're going to, somewhere, it's going to land somewhere. But season 3 will air out, pardon me, on NBC this season. And then hopefully by next summer we'll have it somewhere else. Please Netflix, because I already have a Netflix account.
I know, that's what it comes down to.
But please just, you know, don't take away my Will Graham, and Mads Mikkelsen is just amazing. So please don't take away my Hannibal.
Now I need to watch the show because I have not seen it.
It's very dense.
Yeah.
That's kind of the only thing I can really tell people going in. It's very dense.
Cool.
And it's very cerebral. It's going to kind of mess with your head, which is pretty cool. It's really cool. And the design work is just stunning. Ooh, that's the other thing. I always tie it to Daredevil. Every time I watch an episode of Daredevil, I think it. The opening credits to Daredevil, the minute I saw them the first time, it reminded me of the opening credits to Hannibal, because it's the same like drip effect.
Oh.
It's over buildings with Daredevil, but it's over faces on the Hannibal one.
Gross.
Nice.
And it's a white background with blood in the Hannibal, as opposed to this like red muddied thing going on in Daredevil, but they're very, very similar.
Nice.
So it's interesting. Yeah, you should give Hannibal a shot.
Yeah, I definitely will.
Well, Kate's going to convert another one.
I know. Well, the easiest show I can convert people to is Agent Carter, but Hannibal is just, how do you... You go, you like gross, weird stuff? Okay, watch this show.
Have you done Peaky Blinders yet, Kate?
Have I done what?
Peaky Blinders.
No.
Oh! All right, if I do Hannibal, you got to do Peaky Blinders.
Deal. Yeah, what is it? I'm already agreeing to it. What is it?
I love how she just goes, yes!
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It was a BBC original, but it's being distributed in the U.S. by Netflix. And, it's Cillian Murphy as the main character, so right there you should be. And it's like underground London, like gangs, like gang kind of like warfare, and like the rise of like this one family that's kind of like taking over the slums of London.
I love it already.
Yeah, it's.
I have you had me at BBC.
Yeah. It's really good. And then I'll have you even more here because Tom Hardy comes in the second season.
Oh, I'm sold.
Yeah, and he'll be there for the third as well. And he's a wonderful bearded Jewish man, and he's just fantastic.
Oh, I can't wait.
And he fucks shit up.
The first thing I saw Tom Hardy in was a Star Trek movie.
What?
Star Trek Nemesis.
Oh my gosh.
He's the bad guy. He's Picard's clone. That's the first thing I saw Tom Hardy in. And then it went on, like Inception and then even more stuff. But that was like, when I remember watching Inception and being like, wait, that's the bad guy from Nemesis. I was a Trekkie in my former life.
Not former, you still are.
I know, you can't.
Velocitrekkie is out.
It doesn't go away. You just lock it up for a little while. You're always, once Trekkie, you're always a Trekkie.
Well, you should check out Peaky Blinders. I think you'd really like it. Cillian Murphy does some incredible work, and it's just this. They made a bold choice with the style, and I think it really pays off.
Awesome sauce. Okay, yeah, I totally will give that a shot.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Things we'll be discussing in the future.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, we would love to have you back. This was super fun.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Well, it was a pleasure to be here, and I'm gonna go watch myself some True Detective.
Enjoy.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
Okay, bye.
Bye, sweetheart.
Bye.
Well, okay, geeks. Shoot us an email at itsallgeektomeradio@gmail.com or tweet us at allgeek2, the number 2, me, radio, on Twitter, and let us know what you thought of Daredevil. I'm sure you disagree with me, because everybody does. But that's just fine. Tomorrow, we're going to have a little blog post up on our blog, itsallgeektomeradio.com. We'll have links to all sorts of stuff that we talked about tonight, which was a lot, actually.
We had a lot of fun little tangents.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And we'll get that up sometime tomorrow. And until next week, I'm Kate.
And I'm Em.
Have a good weekend, geek, guys.